So good morning, folks here at CLCC, and also for friends and family and followers online. This morning we're talking about how to get strength. So the first question is, have you ever been tired or weak? Ever been tired or weak? We're hearing some yeses in the house today, and maybe some of you out there can say yes, that there have been days, weeks, months where you have felt tired or weak. So it's one thing to say, yeah, I've had those days, or I'm in one of those days, but don't we want to know what to do about it? Right? Don't we want to know what the Word says? Don't we want to know what Jesus can do? In Psalm 31, David said, "Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am in distress. Tears and griefs are causing my body and soul to faint. My strength has failed." Come on, this is David who said this. He's gone through some struggles. We've gone through some struggle. But he was willing to come to God and said, "Hey, I need help. I have used up my strength, and now I've gotten to the end of my strength." And usually that's what we do, isn't it? We wait until we've used up all of our strength. We're tired, we're exhausted, we're discouraged. Then we say, "Help!" You know, it would be much better if we learned to say, "Give me strength," before I get to that point. But we're all learning, right? We're all learning. So where do we go to replenish? Where do we go to find strength? We're going to look at three ways today. Three ways. We know the first one because we've talked about it before. We've looked at it together before. It's from Nehemiah 8:10. "The joy of the Lord is your strength, my strength, our strength." Absolutely. I didn't say that. The Word says that. To me, that seems odd. Like, when you're tired, when you're weak, joy just doesn't come naturally. So then I say, okay, if the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I'm in a time where I'm discouraged or frustrated or just worn out, where do I get this joy? "In my presence," says the Lord, "is fullness of joy." Fullness of joy. That is Psalm 16:11. So we here at CLCC, we know where to go to find joy. It's into His presence, right? Into His presence to find joy. And we know how to get in His presence and how to stay in His presence. We just did that, didn't we? We just did. So number one, that was not complicated. I just wanted to remind everybody that the first place we go is into His presence, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And in His presence is fullness of joy. So you realize that means that once you get there in His presence, you're going to find fullness of joy. So what do you need to do? "Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up. It's practically empty." It is empty. I looked in it and there's nothing left. But here in your presence is fullness of joy. So it's like He's there pouring this out. You just have to put your cup under the spout. Right? In His presence is, come on now, fullness of joy. Does that mean a little bit? Does that mean some? That means an abundance. And with Him, an abundance is an abundance. Okay, it doesn't mean you have one extra box of crackers. It means you have so many crackers you don't know how you would possibly eat them all. Or chips, or beef jerky, or whatever it is for you. beef jerky. Whoa, see, all the guys are going, ugh. Yeah, see, Okay. We've all brought out Tool Man. All right. So number two. Ready? Number two. Now, this is one I'm going to admit I do not do well. Okay, coming into the presence of the Lord and being renewed, I practice that. I do that. I sometimes have to remind myself to do it, but I do it. This one is a little bit different. Isaiah 30:15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only. Now come on, folks. What does only mean? Only means there is no other way. It doesn't mean that this is just one way of a bunch of ways. The word says, only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. Only in quietness and confident trust. Now listen, we're talking about where do I find strength today when I'm tired or weak. In quietness and confident trust is your strength. Quietness and confident trust. Anybody that knows me knows quiet is not me. That's not an adjective that you would use to describe me. You wouldn't say, well, Pastor Steve's really a quiet guy. Yeah. So two of my grandkids, Sam and that little blister back there, they don't like to be startled. Well, Pap Pap just does that. So we would drive up to Mountaintop to visit the Young Hussy crew, and little Samuel would be up there, and I'd walk in and I'd say, Sam, Pap Pap's here. And he'd go, ah! And two Sundays ago, Stephanie came in with Isabel and was walking through the hall, and I said, Isabel, hi. Same thing. So Pap Pap is not quiet. Only in returning to me and resting in me. Resting. This guy does not do resting well either. I've had to work for years to get myself to physically rest. Because as soon as I would sit down, I'd think, you know, that out in the yard needs done. And I helped Stacy with some stuff around the house. We've always been a team. So, you know, I need to throw the wash in and then she'll put it in the dryer and fold it and hopefully put it away for me. Wink, wink, wink. And so I always could think of things to do. You know, the porch needs cleaned off, something. So I would sit down and I couldn't rest. So I've tried to get better at that and practice that. And so I've learned to rest some. But this rest isn't talking about just physical. You need to do the physical. But what with me is more challenging is this thing right here. I finally sit down and say, okay, those other things are going to wait. I'm going to sit and just relax a little. Then I think about, okay, let's see. This week I have my sermon to do and I'm doing a sozo and I'm counseling and then let's see. So then at my other job, I have this report to do, and I'm doing a branch audit where we go out to the branch, at which I am doing this week. And so there's all these things. So then I finally get work out of my mind. Then I think through the whole family. Okay, 9 grandkids. 9. There's always something going on with one of them. So my mind just races. And I have to really work on, it's a discipline, folks. It's a discipline where you say, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to rest physically and I'm going to rest mentally as well. Another translation of that verse in Isaiah 30 says, your strength will come from settling down, settling down, hey Steve, settle down, and having complete dependence on me. Complete dependence on me. In quietness and confident trust. So if our confident trust is in Him, who is it not in? Let's think about that a little bit. I'm not going to sing, and you're all going to be happy about that. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all. I stood tall, and I did it my way. See, that describes most of us in the U.S., especially us guys. You know, we don't like to ask for help until we're so desperate we can't do anything else. We're lost. We don't have the right tool. We tried to fix it, and now it's worse than it was before. And then we ask for help because we want to say, I did it my way. But most of the rest of us do that with the Lord. Okay? I tried to do this thing without asking for His help, and now you found yourself to the place where you need to ask for help. In fact, we've been taught to be proud of the fact that we've done it ourselves. We figured it out. We gritted our teeth. And we made it through. Well, we made it through, but now we're tired, weak, maybe fatigued, burnt out, or distressed. Maybe we should have asked for help a little sooner. In quietness and confident trust is your strength. Come on. In quietness and confident trust is your strength. Okay. Back to David in Psalm 31. We started with what he had to say, where he said, Lord, this is where I'm at. I have no strength left. Now he prays, O Lord, be my rock of protection, a fortress where I will be safe. Okay, the Lord reminded us this morning through a prophetic word that sometimes we don't feel safe. But he's reminding us he's there. And because he's there, we are safe. And then David apparently reminded himself because he said, Lord, be my rock and be my fortress. Then he says, you are my rock and my fortress. I remember before when I needed a rock and a fortress, you were it and you still are. Lead me out of danger. Pull me from the trap. I entrust my spirit to you, for you are a faithful God. Come on, folks, is he a faithful God? Did he help you before? Will he help you again? He'll do it again. I trust in the Lord. See, there's that confident trust. I trust in the Lord. Now listen, I will be glad and rejoice. Rejoice means to have joy again. I will be glad and have joy again in your unfailing love. Okay? So point one was what? We get our strength from His presence. Number two, we get it in quietness. So that means that we won't find it in loudness or activity. Loudness and activity, that's me. And I won't find it there. So I've got to work on quietness and rest. I don't know about anybody else. In quietness and rest and trusting in Him first and foremost. First and foremost. So that means that we trust Him, but He uses other people. So sometimes he uses doctors, medicine, counselors, friends, and even pastors. But our trust first has to be in him, and then we go to him, then he can guide us to doctors, medicine, counselors, friends, pastors. But if we place our trust in them first, you're going to be disappointed. I hate to tell you that. If you place your trust first in your pastor, you're going to be disappointed. As wonderful as a guy as I am, at least that's what you all tell me, as wonderful as that is, you're going to be disappointed. Friends, it's wonderful to have friends. We all need friends. We need friends to encourage us, call us, send us a card. Pastor Kurt has figured out that one of the things that really ministers to me is words of encouragement. And every now and then I'll go to the mail and I'll think, it's not my birthday, it's not our anniversary. And I'll open it up and it'll be a card from him just saying, hey, appreciate you, thinking about you. And for me, that really does a lot. So yes, we need our friends, but if we're sitting in the situation thinking, I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm discouraged, I'm weary, and none of my friends call. Well, first of all, maybe they don't know you're tired and weary and discouraged. Or maybe they're tired, weary, and discouraged too. So your trust first and foremost has to be in Him. First and foremost. But then God can use all those other people. The other verse that goes along with this is Psalm 46:10. And Pastor Karen and some other people have actually sent this to me with this little note like, hey, the Lord brought you to mind and this verse. And it's like, yeah, you know me too well. The Lord and them. Be still and know that I am God. See, that means we can only come to know Him if we're willing to be still enough. Somebody just can't be still, can you? Still enough to hear from Him and spend time with Him. Be still and know that I am God. Okay? So I always like to look at what things don't mean, because I got what that means. But what it doesn't mean is that there's any way to know Him apart from stillness. Yeah, I want to work on that. Stillness means cease striving, let go of the reins, and relax. How well do all of you do with that? Cease striving, let go of the reins, and relax. We like to be in control. We like to have the reins, and we like to decide where this horse is going. We cannot know God in busyness or in strife. Okay, that was one and two. Number three. We find strength by keeping our hope anchored in Jesus alone. Keeping our hope anchored in Jesus. And hope is actually the anchor. Hope is what keeps us from getting too far off course. If we lose our hope, we're just like a ship going around in a whirlpool in the ocean. We're not making any progress and we're being sucked down. But if our hope is anchored in Him, we know that He can pull us through or out of any situation. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, well. Okay. We tried. I'm not sure what happens with that thing. But we're going to keep going in here. Paul said that I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Jesus is our hope. So that means our hope cannot be in anything else. He has to be our hope. So that means our hope can't be in the economy, can't be in the government, can't be in the doctors. Now remember, we said God uses these things, but that can't be where our hope is. And it cannot even be attached to other people, regardless of how wonderful that person is. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. We who have fled to Him as our refuge can have great confidence and encouragement as we hold on to hope. See, that's why we call it an anchor, because you have to hold on to hope. Don't leave go of hope. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor. Hebrews 16, 18, and 19. So if you know someone that's discouraged or weak, then how about you throw an anchor of hope out to them this week? Remind them that the Lord is their hope. And only through trusting in the Lord can they get their strength back. It needs to be firmly attached to Him alone. Because our strength gets weak. Our strength fails. But God does use a lot of means to help us, doesn't He? Person calling, sending a card, praying for us, encouraging us. He does use medicine and doctors. Stacy was in intensive care for a number of days, and then she was in critical care for a number of days. And I'm convinced that God pulled her through, but He used the medicine and He used the doctor. Jesus needs to be our anchor in the midst of trials and storms. So I don't know if you remember, but there's a story in Acts we're going to look at. Paul's on his way to Rome. I mean, that guy, what about adventures? Stoned, chased out of town. I mean, there were just all kinds of things that happened to him. So now he's in a boat and he's gone to Rome. And the ship is in the middle of the Mediterranean. And there is a nor'easter that comes up. We have nor'easters. Here that means 3 feet of snow. But there it meant a lot of wind and waves and not so nice things to be sailing through. My verse 9. Okay, Acts 27, verse 9. When considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the time of fasting was over, Paul began to admonish them and said to them, "Men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly cause damage and great loss, not only to the cargo and the ship, but also our lives." But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than what was being said by Paul. Because the harbor was not suitable for wintering, the majority reached a decision to put out to sea. So Paul had told them, "We shouldn't go. God warned me, this isn't going to end well," but they decided to go anyway. Verse 14, "There rushed down from us a violent wind called a nor'easter. The ship was caught in it and could not face the wind. We gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along. Running under the shelter of a small island called Clauda, we were scarcely able to get the ship under control. After they hoisted up the boat, they used supporting cables and undergirding the ship, feeling that it might run aground. They let down the sea anchor," okay? Our hope needs to be the anchor in Jesus. "In this way, letting ourselves be driven along. The next day, we were being violently storm-tossed, and they began throwing overboard the cargo." How would you have liked to have been on that ship? I don't even like being in airplanes when you hit turbulence. And I was in one day where I bounced all over the place. I was really glad when we finally landed. We took 3 tries to land. The plane couldn't get through the turbulence to land. That was fun. All right. "Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm assailed us, we gave up all hope of being saved." See? Tired, weary, discouraged, gave up all hope of being saved. "We went a long time without food. Then Paul stood up and said, 'Man, you ought to have followed my advice and not set sail and incurred this damage and loss. Yet, now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among the ship.'" Come on, how do you know that? He's going to tell us. "This very night an angel of God, whom I serve, and I belong to stood before me and said, don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and God has granted you and all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God. Keep up your courage, men, for I believe God, that it will turn out exactly as I have been told, but we will run aground on a certain island. Now, when the 14th night came, come on, now it's 14 days they've been in this storm. No food, no sun, wind, rain, throughout the cargo. That's getting pretty desperate. You haven't eaten, you haven't slept. They took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms, then 15. Fearing that we might run aground, we cast out 4 anchors. As the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and let down the ship's boat into the sea, on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men remain in the ship, you yourself cannot be saved. Sometimes we need to remain in the ship. Not abandon ship. God has it all under control. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it fall. Then the day was about to dawn, and Paul encouraged them to take some food. Okay, let's jump down. All of them were encouraged. There were 276 people on board. They threw out the wheat, now 40. Casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea, while at the same time they were loosening the ropes of the rudders and hoisting the sail, they headed to the beach. Striking a reef where two seas met, they ran the vessel aground. The prow struck fast and remained immobile. Okay, keep going. The centurion, wanting Paul safely through, kept them from their intention. They wanted to kill Paul. 44. The rest followed. Okay, they jumped overboard. The rest followed, some on planks, others on various things. And so it happened that they all were brought safely to land. So whenever we're in the midst of a storm, whenever we're tired, whenever we're weary, we have to put our hope in Him. We have to throw our anchor in Jesus and say, hey, I can't see. I'm famished. The wind's blowing. The waves are tossing the ship. We are placing our anchor in you, our confident trust in you to see us through this situation. If you place it in the ship or the sailors who said they knew what they were doing or even the captain of the ship, okay, it has to be in Jesus. Again, I'm not singing. One of these days I should see what kind of a reaction I get. You definitely would listen. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest rain, sweetest person, the best friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. Even when you can't see Him or sense Him, He's there because He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. In every high and stormy gale, come on, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. So number one, we go into His presence to find joy. Number two, in quietness, rest, and stillness is where we know Him and find our strength. And number three, we throw our anchor of trust into our hope in Jesus. Throw our anchor of trust into our hope in Jesus. Paul makes quite a proclamation in 2 Corinthians. In verse 9, he's saying what the Lord had said to him. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So he's the one who gives us the strength when we need it. So what we're going to do, I want to end with a song. I told the guys, I'm not going to wait to the end to do this, and then I decided to wait to the end to do this. So we're going to do a song where we're going to practice going into his presence, and we're going to practice being quiet. Be still. Yeah, quiet. Yeah, you have a twin right over there. So you can So we're going to practice being quiet. Quiet and still in his presence, because that's where we find fullness of joy, and that's where we receive strength when we're weak. It also gives us a chance to just say, Lord, I place my trust in you and you alone, and I put my anchor of hope, which I threw in this person, I'm pulling it out, and I'm putting my hope in you. Yes, you might use doctors, counselors, pastors, friend, but my hope is anchored in you, and then I will allow you to use what method you want to use. That sound like a plan? All right, let's do some business with God.
I want more. feel like I feel in this room. I want more. Jesus, I want more. Come on, if you feel like I feel, would you cry that out in this room? Say, I want more. I'm the only one who has a burning heart. Would you say, I want more? If you feel like I feel, would you cry it out? I want. Oh, Jesus.
Andrew, you can. So, Father, as we come into your presence this morning, where we know there is fullness of joy, we lift our cups up to you and we receive the strength that we need today. We receive your joy, which your word tells us is our strength. So we receive from you today gladness and joy. We receive it from you today. Strengthen us today. Father, those who aren't here this morning and that are discouraged or weak or sick, we pray that you would meet them right where they are this morning. That your presence would just invade their room. That your presence would invade their lives, and that they would be able to receive from you this morning the strength that they need. And then, Father, you tell us that rest comes in quietness and stillness and placing our trust confident in your hands. So today we take those situations that are wearing us down, those situations that are making us weary, those situations that are discouraging or frustrating us or depressing us, and we hand those situations to you. We place our trust in you. And we say, Lord, you use the methods you want to use. You use the people that you want to use. But our trust is not in the methods. Our trust is not in the people. Our trust is not in someone else's training or abilities. Our trust is in you. And then, Lord, you tell us that hope restores our trust. I'm sorry, hope restores our strength. Hope encourages us. Hope keeps us from going into despair. Hope keeps us from drowning. Hope keeps our ship from sinking. And so for those among us who need to place their anchor back in you, they need to have their hope in you and not any situation, not in any other power, not in any other ruler, not in any other situation but you. Today, we place our hope in you. We place our hope in you. Thank you that as we come to you, we can say, I was weak, but now I am strong. That you came and took those areas of weakness and you made them strengthen. Because as David proclaimed, you are our rock, you are our fortress, and you are the faithful God. Thank you. We stand on your truth today. In Jesus' name. Amen.